Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly favored. Are y'all in a battle? Welcome to the battle. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We have two new packages out. It's called A Key to Consistency and A Well of Delusion. Excellent. Fresh manna. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And that was God's intent for his creation of mankind. It was to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. God gave the earth to man. Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Now we know that when Adam and Eve fell, we lost that. What he restored to them before they left the garden was to be fruitful and multiply. But they didn't have dominion anymore. He was now their dominion. So they had to war according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. So they had to win battles by swords and weapons and so forth. Until Jesus came and he said, you can lay down that sword. Now I got another sword for you. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And he said, now I'm going to give you dominion by empowering you because I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father and I'm going to allow you to sit in heavenly places with me. Even though your little fleshly body is on this side. Because you now are eternal, you sit in where I sit, so that makes you present with him everywhere. So everybody got it. But see, our little peanut brain has a hard time with these things. We still have that carnal state that we're constantly fighting with. So when somebody offends you, you want to rah! When a hammer drops on your toe, you want to, oh. Because you're constantly putting your flesh under submission. You're constantly fighting to take dominion over yourself. But the original state that we were supposed to be in, which Jesus has now restored, is the area to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. So in this, there was something that was set forth. When God told them to go and be fruitful and multiply and have dominion, he sent them on a journey. A journey. Everyone say, the journey. Everyone say, welcome to the journey. So there was a journey set that God had predestined for each one of us. So you're not here by coincidence. Even though, you know, I mean, I was a mistake. My mother wasn't supposed to get pregnant. Whoopee. You know, but mistakes turn to good things, right? So even though that there are certain things that we have plans and we, what our hopes for and our dreams are all about, God has something specific for you. It's called a journey. In fact, it's called the journey of life. See, we try to establish our own journey and our own plans, and we take people's opinions and all of these other things that are all around us, TV influencing us, friends influencing us, money influencing us, all kinds of things that try to influence us to take us off the journey and put us on another journey. Because see, this journey has multiple paths. But there is a path that God has for us compared to what the world has for us. So on this journey that we are on, it's going all the way home. The purpose of the journey is to get established on this path, stay on that path all the way home. Only on that path can you, and by staying on that path, can you maintain the opportunity and the ability to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. When you are off of that path, that ceases. You must stay on the journey. Has everybody got that? And what the enemy tries to do is sway us from the journey. There is a journey of life that we are on right now. And you don't have to understand every part of the operation. You know, when you drive down a road, you don't try to calculate every kind of flower or tree or how many times that the light turned or, I mean, you're not calculating. You're just trying to stay on the road, aren't you? But you know, if you get close, of course, unless you have curb feelers on your car, you're going to start getting close to the curb and so forth. So you have this sense of staying on the road. And it's the same thing in the Spirit. That's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's the one that keeps us on the path. But when we disobey or we want to go our own route, we get off of this path and we go on another path, and things like all hell breaks out sometimes. Things get more difficult than they were. Things begin to lose. We begin to lose because we allow the enemy to get common access to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we get on that path again, we are protected. I didn't say that you wouldn't go through trials and tribulations, because those are to mold you more in the image and likeness of Christ. But so many times we try to dictate to God what our path should be. Oh, we're praying for it hard. Oh, we know it all. Little flesh creatures that we are. So we pray for this path. And oh, Lord, thanks. You know, how many times, you know, I mean, I love it when God sets us up, you know. See, because we're praying for something and something happens and it's like, oh, this is God. And I'm not saying it's not God, but then you come to the realization that you were just set up to get there. And then His true purpose of you being there begins to be established. Would you turn to John chapter 1, the journey of life? In verse 6, would you read it with me? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the what? Light. That all through him might believe. That word believe means to follow. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now this is totally different, because when you begin to look at this journey that we're on, we have so many times tried to predestine ourselves for what we plan on being, according to the will of the flesh or the will of man. Or even the blood, things that we've inherited. Well, you need to be like mom or you need to be like dad. So everything around us is always trying to dictate our path or our journey. And it's always trying to prevent us from truly being dictated or directed by the Spirit of the living God. So God gave us the right to become children of God who believe or who follow. In other words, He gave us the right to the right path. Are you listening? In other words, He gave us access now as a child of God to the right path, to that journey that is predestined for me and you. If we do something, if we follow. If we what? If we follow. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse In verse 8, Ephesians 4, 8, very interesting. Either I have another Ephesians. It's Ephesians 5, 8, I'm sorry. It's trying to take me off the right path. Ephesians 5, 8, is everybody there? Would you read it with me? It says, for what? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Why? Because if you don't expose them, they're going to take you off the path. Again, that goes back to what we've been saying for a while. It's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. You know, one of the things that really damage a lot of people, especially we've lost a lot of lives in Iraq and so forth, are because of the bombs in the road. Because they're camouflaged. They cannot be seen because they're hidden. So what happens, they drive over them or somebody steps on them. I mean, most of the time, majority of the injuries and amputations and loss of legs and limbs and so forth is because somebody steps on a bomb. You know, so in that, it happens spiritually too. So many times we step on a bomb, spiritual bomb, that moves us off the path. Are you listening? Because we're not making what is unseen to become seen. This is a spiritual fight, not a physical one. In verse 12 it says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now this word light means life. Life. Now, can you see in the dark? No, but you can see in the what? Light. Go to Proverbs 4. So the children, we were once children of darkness, but we are now children of light because of the path we are on is called the journey of life. And life is light. So you are on a journey of life and you are on a journey of the light. In Proverbs chapter 4. 18. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is what? Like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like what? Darkness. They do not know what? Makes them stumble. Why? Because they cannot make what is unseen to become what? Seen. Ooh. It is the path of life. It is the path of light. So we are able to see. Now again, the enemy is always going to try to get you off that path. There is purpose. There is favor. There is fruitfulness. There is multiplication. And there is dominion only on the path. And only on the path. The true path. In 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being what? Disobedient to the word, to which they were appointed. But you are a what? Chosen generation. A what? Royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who have had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. In other words, when you say mercy, you say, Lord, have mercy upon me. What you're asking him to do is acknowledge you. Now he acknowledges you. In verse 11, beloved, I beg you as what? sojourners and pilgrims. I'd say that's a part of a journey. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Why? It'll move you off the path. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. So we see that we are a chosen generation, a priesthood, and we're to proclaim His praises and glory. And that is to stay on the path of light, the journey of life. These things are established. These things are what assist you in this area. Praise and worship. Hello? Praise and worship. Why? Because you deny yourself. See, self will always move you off the path. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. What is that? That is the path of life that He has predestined for me and you. Go to Psalm 16. In verse 9, let's read it, please. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the what? Path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. Where is this located? And the path of life, which is associated with His presence. So this path means that we're constantly on this journey. Every day, is time going? It's moving. We are not still. We started tonight. What just passed by these last 30 minutes is gone. It's dead. It's over. You can never recapture that. The journey continues. Has everybody got it? The journey will continue. So something David cried out, he said, show me the path of life. Show me. Go to Psalm 25. In verse 4 and 5. What does he say? Show me your ways, O Lord, and what? Teach me your paths. In other words, keep me on this path that you've got for me. Lead me in your truth and what? Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. In other words, he's always waiting for direction. See, he's asking for direction. Do you understand that? He's asking for direction so he can stay on the path of life. Teach me your paths. Grant me direction. Psalm 23. Here it is, the path of life. Would you read it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, that word want means I shall not lack. Why? Because if you're on that path, everything is provided. Has everybody got it? Everything is provided. God makes a way. Unfortunately, He doesn't make the way according to our time. Because then it wouldn't be His path. Come on, are you getting this? It wouldn't be His path if it was our time. Man, we try to push the hand of God, don't we? Verse 2. Come on, what's it say? He what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Hello. It's almost like He says, heal. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, your mind, your will, and your stinking emotions. He restores them according to His way so that there's dominion over them. So that you no longer are led by how you feel. You are, because feelings will always move you off the path. If you're an individual that goes by everything they feel, you will always be misled. And God cannot trust you. Well, this is what I feel. Well, kill it. What's God say? I don't know, but this is how I feel. Well, if you don't know what God's saying, but you got a feeling, you better wait. He restores my soul. He leads me in the what? Wait a minute now. He restores our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Why? So we can stay on the path. When they become cross-fired, hello, your mind, your will, and emotions, when they become in the area of soulishness, in the area where you're being led by how you feel, you're offended real easy, all of these other goofy little things that are childish, you're easily moved off the path. Well, I didn't get what I wanted. Oh, Gucci goo. Well, I just can't wait any longer on God. I gotta go do something. Yeah, you need to die. Then you'll wait. See, the more we want something, the more God holds off on it. I know that sounds strange sometimes. He's the opposite of everything. He loves us unconditionally. We have a hard time loving ourselves. We're always finding complaint with ourselves. Oh man, you need to do this better. You need to do that better. And all of that's associated with trying to get you off the path. No matter what it is. We're always judging ourselves in the wrong arena. What about what God sees you? Not what the enemy sees you, but what God, not what the flesh sees you, but how does God see you? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, not for my name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will scream and I will cry and I will kick. He says, yes, you will until you change, because you don't change on the mountaintops. You change in the valley. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, he was in the valley, man. He wanted out of the valley, but he knew God wasn't going to get him out until it was God's time. So he finally said, listen, I'm just going to declare this and make confession. Your rod and staff comfort me. I'm not going to fear no evil here. See, he was making confession in his hardest times. Why? Because he knew if he didn't, he'd get thrown off the path. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Wow. That presence, that table that is set before us is on the path, not off the path. You know, we have a tendency to want to hitchhike and go around and go up the back way to the table. No. It's in the presence of your enemies. You've already been anointed to get on that path and get to that table. That table is known as a place of treasure. Say treasure. Everyone say, I'm a treasure hunter. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why? Because he wants to kick butt on the enemy. So when you get to the table and get that treasure, the enemy has been defeated again. You anoint my head with oil. Man, when I get to that table, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? Because you're on the path. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The journey of life. Ephesians 1:3, is everybody there? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Those are treasures, man. You got a place everywhere. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Hello? You were already predestined for this journey before God created the earth. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him, and having what? Predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. You and I have been predestined for this journey. Now, it doesn't mean that you've been on this journey the whole time you've been here. Are you listening? But if you notice that God has predestined a journey for us, so many times we've kicked and fought to not get on the path. Then when we finally got to a point where we couldn't handle it anymore, we finally said, man, I need to get on some kind of path. And God puts us on the path. Now the whole thing is to fight to stay on the path. At one time we fought to get on it. Now we got to fight to stay on it. Acts 17. So you and I were predestined for this path. God has predestined us no matter what. Now, of course, He didn't predestine me to be a drug addict. Are you listening? That was the other path. But even though I got on that path of ungodliness, it came to an end. See, there's a dead end of every other path but the righteousness path. It always comes to an end. But only the path of life is forever. Every other path has got a dead end. Acts 17, is everybody there? In verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. And He has what? Come on, read it with me. Made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their what? Pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. That's called a path. So that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent. Why? Because the only way you can step on that path is to be washed by the blood first. Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of all this to all by raising Him from the dead. By what? Raising Him from the dead. So we know that there's pre-appointed times and boundaries. You were born and started in the journey of life already. It was predestined. From the moment you were born, God had already predestined this journey. He knew that at some time in your life, you would get on that path. He knew. Of course, He had liked it probably sooner than later. For some individuals, they've got about 10 feet left of the path, or of their unrighteous path before it comes to a dead end, and they need to get on the eternal path. In Matthew 6:19, is everybody there? 6:19, let's read it together. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Treasure. Remember, we talked about accessing on the path and coming to the table that God has prepared. That's where the treasures are, aren't they? In other words, God is saying, don't depend on the carnal, you know, there is difference between earthly treasures and spiritual treasures. And in this we labor unto the Lord, not unto self. But there are treasures to be found that can expand the kingdom of God. And there are treasures in heaven that it can expand you. In other words, through revelations, through wisdom, through knowledge, through understanding. Those can expand you to be able to expand the kingdom of God, and where you are reaching in and digging in certain areas where you are hitting revelation wells. Where are you hitting places that are changing you? Are you listening? See, you change when you find a place to dig. When you hit that treasure is when you change. In other words, this life, this journey of life that we are on is like a treasure map of life. It's like, you know, when, remember the old pirates and whatever, they used to find these maps, and I mean, people would kill over them. Well, Jesus died over it for me and you, so that you and I could have the map of life. And there are certain treasures, things that are hidden. And as we're on this path, God is always going to bring you to a place where you're going to have to dig for treasure. And when you dig for treasure there, you will find something that's going to help you continue on the path to another place where there's another treasure to dig. Does everybody understand this? Okay. Go to Colossians 2. It's the treasure map of life. Told you we were treasure hunters, right? Looking for the deep things of God. Colossians chapter 2, start at verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden what? All the treasures of wisdom and what? And knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. In other words, the enemy is always going to try to persuade you to come off this path. But I'm sharing with you that as you stay on this journey of life, if you stay on the path of life, there are treasures that you begin to find. They're nuggets, they're revelations, they're things that encourage, they're things that bring prosperity, there's things that bring healing, there's things that bring freedom. And this treasure, and God is always placing them ahead, so we have a desire to go to the next one, to the next one. It's called going from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So by staying on the path of life, treasures are found. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Is everybody okay? But we what? We have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels, that the what? Excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So God has already empowered us with the treasure hunter. He's already empowered us to go forth and seek out treasure, deep things of God. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live always are always delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So this treasure of power, this hidden, this vessel that we carry, this treasure in us is the power that helps us and guides us to look for treasure and maintain the path of life. Does everybody understand that? He is called the power of God, as known as the Holy Spirit. But it says here, listen, you're hard-pressed, you're perplexed, all of these things. In other words, this road isn't always easy. It's not always easy. It's amazing how many people think, now I got Jesus, everything's going to be fine. No, your stuff just started. Now we got to get rid of everything that you've been carrying. Hello. Because, you know, in the world, we're a bunch of covetous people. And we've picked up burdens, we've carried everything, we want to bring everything with us. We don't want to lose nothing, we want to hold everything that we've ever remembered. Every area, all of those emotional things, oh, I want it all. It needs to come off to stay on the path. And the more you stay on the path, the more you get stripped. Until you finally are transparent. Amen. In Matthew 7:7. The journey of life. Everyone say, welcome to the journey. So when we do communion, we're toasting to the journey. Matthew 7:7. Would you read it with me? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now I want you to begin to look at this as a path. It says, for everyone who asks, receives. What are they asking for? I mean, literally, what were we asking for? Direction. Lord, help. Well, what are you asking for? Direction. It says, for everyone who asks, receives. So what are you getting? Direction. And everyone who seeks what? They do what? They find. In other words, seeking is an area where you're obeying. In other words, when you seek, if you obey, in other words, you ask, he gives you directions. Now you're reading the directions. If you obey the directions, you know what you're going to do? Find. And what's the next thing? He says, and to him who what? Knocks. I call that kicking off the lock. And then what happens? The door opens and what's there? The treasure. So everybody see this. Remember, you're on a path. You are a treasure hunter now. This is the journey of life that God has placed us on. It was already predestined for me and you so that we can pick up whatever is needed. He guides us. That little treasure map that brings us in life leads us to other treasures that are going to assist our growth, help us change, and bring us to the place where we can constantly have dominion, multiplication, prosperity, freedom, healing. Hello. And it's only done on that path, isn't it? Go to verse 13. Surprise. It says what? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in and by it. He's talking about the path, isn't he? The journey of life. Because narrow is the gate or the road, and difficult is the way which leads to what? Life. And there are few who find it. In other words, there are few who are willing to ask, seek, and knock. Many quit after asking. Once they get the directions, they only start halfway. Or they stop on the journey of life. And the enemy comes in and begins to sway them in another way. And they never reach the next treasure. They never receive their next fresh manna. They never receive that revelation. They never receive what God has for them. He's got to wait for them to go back on the path. And sometimes they've missed that place of treasure where they were supposed to dig. And he has to bring them all the way back and say, okay, come on, let's get this right now. Why? Because he's going to fulfill his will, not ours. Go to John 10. John 10. You know, so many times we get into a place like, man, I don't know. What am I doing here? How did I get here? How did this happen? See, God, listen, He isn't going to tell you everything, man. He's going to cause you to search out these hidden treasures. But if you're truly seeking, if you're truly asking, you'll eventually knock and you'll find another treasure. And it'll bring you to another place. But so many times, we'll take that treasure and run right off the path. Instead of staying on the path. We think that so many times, and this is where pride comes in, once you hit the treasure, I made it. No, you didn't. You got 425 more to go. And that's where pride kicks in. We think we made it. Oh, I got enough now. I can retire. No, you can't. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. You fight till you die. Hallelujah. In John 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and what? Find pasture. Didn't say find pastor, it said find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have what? Life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And that is only going to be established if you're on the path. See, the Word tells us that everything is going to be tried by fire. And everything that was established in the kingdom of God in the flesh by money, are you listening? Where everything was built in the kingdom of God by money or selfish works or selfish ambitions and trying to proclaim God will burn. Only that which is directed by God will stay. Anything that's not directed by God will burn. There are people who are going to find out the whole thing. And I'm not saying that people won't get saved, because there are people in wrong ministries. There are people that are leading wrong ministries. Well, God called me to do this. Well, if He did, you'll find that it won't burn. The worst thing we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Are you listening? That is the worst thing that we can do. Because to be successful in the wrong assignment means everything that an individual has done will not be accounted for. There'll be no reward. It will burn. But that has nothing to do with people getting saved out of it. Are you listening? So if this ministry was not established by God, it has nothing to do with individuals, it would have to do with me. And when I stood before God, if this was established by flesh, all of my works would burn, but I would still be saved. But whatever you do, as long as it's according to the will of God, will stand in the fire, and you'll be rewarded for it. So everybody got it? So, on this path of life, which is the will of God, a road that we call Grace Boulevard. Welcome to Grace Boulevard. That is the map of directions to each treasure. There are always certain clues which are released, even though we're not sure where we are going. God always brings a clue. Next, you'll be walking and things will be, and all of a sudden, man, you know what? That's right. He always confirmed that you're on the path. Are you listening? Somehow, whatever, He'll always confirm that you're on the path. And as you maintain that path, He'll tell you where to dig. In other words, that's a place where you settle and you receive. There's something being released. Something will be released. It could be released to you in a dream, a vision. It could be released to you through financial. It could be released to you through healing. Something could be released to you. Everybody, God always brings you on a path to release something to you. He really, now the devil's always going to try to cause, you know how he is. He always tries to delay things, doesn't he? No matter what. He's that legalist that wants to delay everything that God is trying to do. There's times when you had to go to the store for milk and you went to the store for milk. Well, you thought that you went there for milk, but the person that you were standing in line with to pay for the groceries didn't have money. But you had the money to pay for the groceries. See, that's all a part of God's path. Now you're understanding. So many times he sets us up. And it's not that it's almost like God and Satan are playing a chess game.
All right, rook to here and here.
But Jesus already won. And so the victory is already ours. We are already more than conquerors. And that's where the decrees come in. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. If God be with me, who can be against me? Why? Because you must stir yourself up to stay in the path. Discouragement will always begin to sway you off the path. Oppression. The enemy's always going to try to get you off the path. And especially, the greatest attack is when the treasure's right, you're standing right on it and don't even know. And now all of a sudden you hear, dig! In other words, you asked. And the thing is, you're still like, oh, Lord, grant me direction. Please, Lord, grant me direction. Don't you see the X? You're standing on it. Now obey. And then it's right there. The journey of life. Go to Deuteronomy 8. I want to use an example here of the journey of life. So you don't have to figure it out, man. That's all you need to do, stay on the path. It's when we get carnally trying to figure everything out. You know, things start exploding. And we try to do 14 different things at one time, and none of it's of God. And that's when you got to step back and say, okay. And usually, again, your greatest attack is when you're standing right on the treasure. Because the enemy does not want you to obey. He wants to distract you. In Deuteronomy 8:18, would you read it with me? And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you what? Power to get wealth. Well, in other words, that's that excellence, that vessel of power, right? When we just talked about that. He said, He has given me and you power to what? Get wealth. Wow. That He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, it is this day. Then it shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods or other paths and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to what? The voice of the Lord. In other words, the direction comes. He says, now do it. That's called seek. That's obedience. And you'll what? Find. And once you find, you knock. You kick the lock off and you open the treasure. And there's another direction. There's another part of the plan. And there's everything that provides for that part of the plan. So everything is provided. The provision is in there. Everything is in there. See, but one of the problems that you got to be careful is because people begin to seek provision instead of truth. And the enemy has all kinds of provisions, but it's not on the path. So people get off the path and chase the provision. And they get the provision and go, "Oh God, thank you." But there's no response. There's no answer from God. Because it isn't from God. Is everybody with me? That's why it's important to hear the voice of God. Because the enemy will provide for misleading. Hello? He has given us power for wealth. That is the vessel of the excellence of the power of God that's within us, so that we can be treasure hunters, so that we can search the deep things out of God in the Spirit. Follow through from treasure to treasure, because the map is already in you. Is everybody okay? Go to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Sow and reap. Spiritual law. So if there are things that we've got to do to maintain the path, and my walking on the path, it's obedience, isn't it? So sowing and reaping is a part of the spiritual law. It's what assists you to keep on the path, doesn't it? In Genesis 37, in verse 1, if you'll read it with me. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was stranger, in the land of Canaan. In other words, it was a journey. Jacob was on a journey, wasn't he? He was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Belial and the sons of Zephlah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel, in other words, this is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably about him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now, something happened here, because Joseph had a dream. In other words, he had a predestined purpose, and he began to share it. Are you listening? But his brothers weren't willing to listen. It sounded all the time that Joseph was being prideful, because at one of his dreams, he saw everybody bowing, but he didn't see the people bowing. He called them bales of wheat or something. They were standing up, they were bowing. Now, one of the things that happened with Joseph here, which is very important, and we've got to understand that in this and during this period of time, his brothers hated him. In other words, there was going to be resistance of Joseph staying on the path. Now, you would think that all the things that happened to Joseph, that he wasn't in God's will. It would seem like, man, there's just no way that Joseph was in God's will, but he was, because he found favor in every area. Now, I want you to go to Genesis 41. Is everybody there? Now, I want you to understand that Joseph, even though his path was difficult and narrow, and because his brothers hated him, Joseph went out one day to bring food and stuff to his brothers who were out feeding the flock, and his brothers said, "Let's kill him. I can't stand this kid anymore. God gives him dreams and we're jealous." See, Joseph was carrying a predestined map within him, the map, the path of life. And in this, what they did instead of killing him, they sold Joseph to Ishmaelites. Nice, huh? And they left him there and sold him. And Joseph was bought by an officer of Pharaoh in Egypt, and he was bought as a slave. So I want you to begin to see that Joseph began to travel now from Canaan all the way to the place of Egypt. And he was sold there. So God had a plan. And in this path, it didn't seem like, man, how could it be the will of God? His brothers just came against him and sold him. But then, and then the Ishmaelites sold his Joseph to the officer of Pharaoh, Potiphar. And Potiphar used him as a slave. And then during Joseph living at Potiphar's house, who was an officer of Pharaoh with high authority, Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then Joseph went right to prison. Now, so the first thing that happened to Joseph was he was sold by his family. Sold out. The second thing was is he was bought by an officer and put in slavery. And the third thing was is the officer's wife falsely accused him, and Joseph was put in prison. Now, the fourth thing is that Joseph was put in prison with the king's prisoners, and the keeper put Joseph in charge because everything Joseph did, he had favor. So there was an integrity of Joseph that he maintained no matter what he was going through. In other words, he maintained covenant with God. Does everybody get this? No matter what. Only can you stay on that path by maintaining covenant with God. Now, then what happens here? Joseph interprets a dream. Now, remember I shared with you that Joseph was in prison, right? So Joseph was in prison because of Potiphar's wife who accused him. But Joseph had favor there. So he was in a prison with the king's prisoners. Just not with every prisoner, but with the king's prisoners. And I want to go to verse 37 and Genesis 41. And it says, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such one of this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Now this is what happened. And I want to repeat this again because it's very important. Because God had Joseph on a path, on his path, that just didn't seem like it was God. God, why am I in prison? Lord, God, why am I being falsely accused and being in prison? Why is my own brother selling me out? And why am I a slave? I'm your son, I'm your covenant child. Because God has a specific plan and purpose that is not going to equate to your intellect. Do you understand that? He's trying to keep you into a place and get you to a place and change you so you can handle the big part he has for you. See, Joseph wasn't able to handle what God had for him. He had to go through hell to get to heaven. Now, while Joseph was in the prison, two of the king's servants were in prison. One was a chef, another one was a butler, or one was a baker. And they both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted them both. One was going to die. Of course, they didn't like that. So Joseph interprets the butler and the baker's dreams. Then they both work for Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh had a dream, and the butler, of course, was the one that made it. The baker got cooked. This was 2 years later now. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream, right? And the butler, because nobody could interpret. God didn't let nobody interpret it. And the butler that Joseph interpreted the dream about, 2 years later, remembers, oh, there's a dude in prison that could probably interpret this for you, Pharaoh. So they pull him out. And Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. Seven things happened here. Seven meaning complete and perfect. The first thing was Joseph was sold, right? The second thing, he was bought as to be a prisoner or a slave. The third thing, he was falsely accused. All of these things, God was moving Joseph through the path. Now, our carnal peanut brain intellect is going to sound like, this can't be God. But you know what? There are things that happen in your life that just don't seem like they are God. But God is keeping you on the path and changing you. Remember, he's already predestined for you to be on this path of life. It was already predestined for you. Now, we've made some wrong choices. But Joseph had no way to make a choice, did he? Everything was predestined and directed. So the first thing was Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites. They sold Joseph to officer of Pharaoh, Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife accused him. The third thing, he went to prison. Joseph found favor in the prison, right? Then Joseph interprets their dreams. Pharaoh has a dream, and the dude remembers that Joseph interpreted his dream. He pulls Joseph out of prison, stands before Pharaoh, and Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. Seven things that happen. In verse 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as deserving and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and over my all of my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Something happened here. There was a wealth transfer. Are you listening? There was a what? A wealth transfer. I would say Joseph just hit the big treasure. Man, he found the big one. You know why? Because he probably had an opportunity to escape, didn't he? He probably had an opportunity to run every time, but he maintained covenant. And you know what else he did? He sowed. He sowed. He sowed. He sowed. He maintained covenant. He sowed. He sowed. He didn't try and fix it. He labored unto the Lord in his whole path. And the end result was there was a transfer of wealth right to Joseph. In fact, he was the second wealthiest man in the world besides Pharaoh. Hello? In verse 55. Now this is what happened. So when all of the land of Egypt was what? Famished. Now, is the world in a famine right now? Yes. I'm sharing with you that God does a wealth transfer during famines to the righteous. He does a wealth transfer. But the whole thing is that you must maintain covenant and you must sow. You must stay on that path and continue to dig for the treasures all the way till you hit the big one. There's always a wealth transfer during famine from the wicked to the righteous. Hello? So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." The famine was all over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was so severe in all of the lands. I'm telling you that in this transfer of wealth, first of all, God sent Abraham. And during a famine, God transferred wealth to Abraham. Then Isaac went. And during a famine, there was a transfer of wealth to Isaac. Then we have Jacob. And there was a transfer of wealth to Jacob. These are all during famines. And then the transfer of wealth to Joseph. Then the transfer of wealth during famines to Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. Remember, they left with all the gold and all the cattle and all the cash. And then during a famine, there was a transfer of wealth to Solomon. And we're in a famine now. And I really believe that it's a time for a transfer of wealth. And I'm not just talking about physical, but I'm talking about spiritual to the body of Christ. But there's something that must be maintained. Covenant and sowing. Covenant and sowing. And by that, it's talking about by maintaining covenant means you're staying on the path. You're asking for direction. You're seeking to obey. And you're kicking the locks open to where the treasures are. And every one of these treasures is a provision to get you to the next one. There's another additional. There's a change of clothes. There's a change of garments. There's a change of a sword. So you can only carry a little sword then your sword gets bigger. Everything is about growth. Everything is about maturity. Joseph could not do what he was doing with Pharaoh until he had to go through all of this for years so he could mature to handle what God was about to release to him. Do you understand that? So don't get upset when God hasn't released something to you yet because he knows you can't handle it yet. Quit hunting for a spouse. Let him bring it. Quit trying to fix your family. Let him bring it. Quit trying to fix your past. Let him bring it. Are you listening? Stop trying to fix your life and stay on the path. You just ask for direction. You seek to obey, and he'll bring you to the treasure. And you kick it off and pick up the next garment, pick up the next plan, and you keep going until you hit the big one. Do not stop. Do not look behind. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? She looked behind in sorrow of what she had. She let all of the torment of the family and all the trials and tribulations that they went through and the tormenting of the daughters and the seeing the homosexuality and all the perversion and all the things that went on. She forgot about that and was only concerned about her house and goods. And she turned to stone because her heart was stone. Let God build the house. There is a transfer of wealth right now going on. There is a transfer. And in this transfer, we must be prepared and mature enough to handle what God is doing. You must maintain covenant. Lean not on your own understanding. Quit trying to tell God how he needs to direct your path. He doesn't hear them. Oh, Lord, you need to do this. Oh, you need to shut up. Oh, Lord, I need my family back. Oh, no, you don't. You need him. Oh, I need this. Oh, what about this? Oh, what? Forget that, man. Those things will move you right off path. They'll make you change focus. And you will find a treasure that's not of God. A false provision. And it'll put you on a false destiny. And the wrong path. And the end result will be destruction. The worst thing we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? Is everybody okay? You got it? Welcome to the journey. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you continue to grant us direction. Grant us the strength by the power that's within us to follow and obey. And lead us to the deep things of the Spirit, where the hidden treasures are, that we may be prepared in provision, in garment, and strength, and in power to go to the next one. And then in every area, Lord, others may see our walk and want to follow you as we walk, because it's you who walk in us, and it's you who guide us. Lord, let the word grow and bear fruit for your glory tonight. Let it be protected by the blood, and raise your people up as the transfers begin in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.